Okay, we're live.
We're live?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Welcome, everybody, to a special Friday night episode of Lais and the Coach. And in tonight's episode, we have a special guest. And while this particular format of our show is probably what a lot of you are used to, way back in the day, our show had another format. It used to be it's not just boot camp, the show. Mm-hmm. And I did a couple of episodes by myself, but the very first guest that I had on was my co-host, and she was the first person that we talked to on the show. And at the time, none of the things that she's done had happened. None of the competition stuff. We mainly wanted to have a lot of people on the show that were going to talk about their experiences working out at our gym or using our program, or honestly, at that time, we just wanted to talk to people about fitness in general.
Yeah.
And who better to talk to than her at the time, right? So then fast forward, we had her back on the show when she decided she was going to compete. We had her back on the show after her first show. We had her back on the show after her second show. And the truth is that after that, we kind of combined and we decided to do the show together.
Yeah.
And we were doing It's Not Just Boot Camp, the show, for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of just rebranded and reformulated the whole thing to what it is now, Lais and the Coach. But she has not actually been a guest on the show for quite some time.
Yeah. And so, we didn't discuss any of this other than we're doing it.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
One of the things, if you've been watching the show, for those of you that have not, we are on YouTube, we are on Spotify, iTunes, all the things.
All the places.
We've interviewed all of the members of Team Forever that have gotten on stage, or at least the ones that we've been able to schedule
an
interview
with.
We're only
missing, I think, two, three. Right?
But for the most
they're coming in the coming
weeks. We always like to talk to everybody, mm-hmm. so that we can get their perspective on what's going on. Like we want to make sure that we can get the feedback from the person that's actually doing the show. And then for the people that are watching, for you to hear their experience of what it's like to prep, what it's like to get ready for the stage, what it's like competing. Mm-hmm. Like, we always want everybody to get the feedback from us and from the person that actually went through that experience. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do today is actually interview her and all of the experience that she has had since she got started, because while we talk a lot about it, we really don't ever talk about ourselves, and obviously specifically not to her or about her. So welcome
I'm
to
excited.
The show.
I have no idea what you're going to ask me, but I'm really excited.
We're going to ask the tough questions.
It's all impossible. Shit.
We are going to.
I'm way too honest for tough questions.
We're going to ask all the tough questions. We're going to talk about all the secrets. Everything will be revealed tonight.
Here we go.
Question number one. No. So your last show was
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And what show were you at? For those of you watching that don't know.
WBFF Worlds in Las Vegas.
We were at WBFF Worlds in Las Vegas.
So
and let's circle back a little bit, because we do have a lot of new people that are tuning in for the first time, or maybe hearing you talk about your experience competing for the first time. So maybe what we could do is really quick recap why you decided to start competing, how you decided to start competing, and maybe talk a little bit about that for the person that's maybe hearing the story for the first time.
Really quick is really hard to do for that story.
That's why we do the stuff we do.
For me in general, but that story. So very long story, condensed, right? Short. A few years ago, I was a new mom and I was not in a good place. I didn't like the way that I looked. I didn't like the way that I felt. I didn't like the fact that I didn't really have anything that I was doing for myself. I didn't have any goals or aspirations. I was just a stay-at-home mom. And while he's been doing, you know, this whole thing for a really long time, it wasn't really a part of my life. So I would, you know, he had a gym, so I would go in and I would work out a few times a week, but I was never that consistent with that. And also I was definitely not consistent food-wise. I would just kind of, you know, just do something here and there. Like he would guide me through it, but then the weekend would come and I would just bake a million things and cook a million things. And, you know, I was just not in a fitness flow in any way. I was not a fitness person in any way. That was totally his thing. And as a new mom and as someone that was just all day doing things now for everybody but herself, I was just in a rut. And I, you know, in this, I think in this Instagram day and age, it's easy to get like an insight in other people's lives. So I would scroll through and see all these girls that looked a way that I never imagined I could, but that, you know, I was just like, damn, like it would make me feel so bad. I'm like, I have nothing to look forward to. I'm not working towards anything. I hate the way that I look. It's affecting so many things in my life because it affects your confidence and your relationship. And it just, I wasn't in a good place. And on top of that, just as a person in general, I've always been very shy and very in my shell. So we had actually been to a business meeting, you know, randomly once, and I met this girl who was supposed to be like a fitness person online, but at the time, like in person, she really didn't seem that fit to me. She actually was pretty heavy. But we became friends on Instagram. I was just started following her, and a few months down the road I saw her and she was on stage, you know, very fit and very tight and toned, and but still very feminine. Like I knew it wasn't traditional bodybuilding. And I was like, what in the world? Like, I literally just saw her like 6 months ago and she did not look like that. Like, how did she do this in 6 months? And what stage is this? Right. Cause I was like, so intrigued. She had this costume on and I'm like, that's not traditional bodybuilding. Like what does she do? He obviously knew what it was. And I was like, I can't believe you've been keeping this from me. But anyway, I was like, do you think that I can do something like that? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, no way. Like how long? Like 2 years? Like, he's like, no, I think you could do it.
And it's probably been 2 years since then.
Yeah, it's been three. Yeah. But, and he's like, I think you can do it in the next few months. And I was like, no freaking way that my body can transform that way in a few months. But you know what?
I should have charged her.
But like, you know what? If you say so, we'll try. I really didn't think that it could happen, honestly. And truthfully, I didn't think that I was actually going to go through with it. I was like, I just couldn't imagine like beyond the transformation. I really couldn't imagine just getting on a stage, like period, let alone in a bikini in front of people and doing all of these modeling things that were so out of my comfort zone. It was so weird to even envision that. But I'm like, I'm sure if I look like that, it'll be fine. And I'm not going to look like that anyway. So I'm not actually going to end up doing it. But we started the process. It was around, when did we decide? November, December?
Truthfully, we decided, and even though this is her interview, because we've gone through
we did it all together, of it together, yeah.
We decided that you were going to do it toward the end of November. It was around Thanksgiving time.
Yes.
And then
3 years ago?
Yeah. And then the holiday season came and the diet went out the window.
Yep. I was a hot mess.
And
a week into my process, I was a hot mess.
A week into the prep, she was a mess. Yes. Like, just
I actually didn't really get my shit together till like early February.
Yeah, it was the very
all of
last
December,
week.
All of January.
It was the very last week of January. Mm-hmm. But with like, just to put a little context behind that, she was still working out. She was still, you know, doing all of the things that she needed to do on that side. But we just couldn't get traction with the food the way that we needed it to.
Yeah.
And it plays a big role in this process. And she just couldn't get enough traction during that time.
But in February, you know, I decided, and I think you actually told me to do it. I was not very active on social media. Honestly, the only things I posted were like pictures of my kids. I definitely never did a selfie or a video or anything like that. But he was like, you should announce that you're going to do this. And I was like, oh, like no one cares. No one's really watching. And I did just for accountability. I'm like, if I say I'm going to do it, then I really have to do it. You know, like the moment that I announce it and it's not just in my head or just between us, like I have to actually do it. So once I announced it, few people, you know, from the gym at the time saw it and they would ask me about it. And that kind of became like the reason why I stayed on track. Like as I really wanted to do it, but a lot of times like I didn't have the belief that I actually could. And then that day, like someone at the gym would be like, so how is, you know, how's your prep going? I was like, shit, like I'm actually, I have to do it because everyone thinks I'm doing it. So we just went through that journey for the first time. And I guess the rest is history.
And here we are today. Longer story, really short. Obviously, she's continued to compete, and we've documented all of that. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the questions that I wanted to take advantage of this platform to ask are things that have come up along the way. One of the reasons that we both wanted her to do that show is because while she was looking for all of those things, we were looking for an opportunity to market our gym differently.
Yeah.
She was looking for that transformation, and I was looking to kind of prove that you could transform like that and still have the flexibility in the way that you ate, being a mom, and doing all of the things that technically prevent people from doing this, right? All of the reasons why people say they can't.
Yeah.
So I knew that food was going to be a big thing for her. And I always said, you know, we can kind of build everything that you want in. So it was going to be an opportunity for us to promote our gym or our services through her journey, right?
Yeah, so, I'm a foodie. I've always been. I love to go out to eat. I love to cook elaborate meals. I love to bake. That's how I celebrate. That's my thing, right? Like, it's always been. So he knew that there was no way, and I knew that I was going to be able to go through this process in a way that was very, like,
traditional.
That's literally the word I was
using. So I'm glad that she said that, because question number one is going to be, one of the things that's come up in this journey is, do you really eat the foods that you post? Or are you a fake Instagram person that takes pictures of food so that you can pretend?
And what do I do with it?
Pretend to the people that you are eating those foods and you are not. Tell the people the truth.
Let me tell you something, you guys. I am blown away every time we get that question, because who does that? Like, I'm always like, holy shit, like, someone actually thought that's a thing. Like, who orders a meal or cooks a meal, takes a picture of it and, like, throws it out or gives it
cooking,
to someone else?
You know what? Now that you said it out loud, the cooking I would get, because you could make whatever you want at home. You could even make fake stuff at home. And, like, you know.
Who does that? Like, why would I go through the trouble? I don't even have time to cook the meals I need to cook. Why would I cook or order extra shit that I don't eat?
So.
Yes, I eat everything
that
has
come up several times.
And then some, because there's a lot of stuff that I eat that I forget to post.
That's come up several times.
Yeah.
People have said, there is no way that you can eat that food and still get the outcome that you have. So for the people watching, she's just answered. We don't have a lie detector device here, but we are going to take her word for it. And I will vouch for her, because I've been there for those moments.
Yeah. I eat it, you guys.
Question number two. Let's talk about supplement use.
Okay.
And enhanced supplement use, because people want to know all the different things that you are taking. Mm-hmm. All of them. List them out for the public. This is our show. Mm-hmm. So we can be very truthful and transparent. So just go on and give the public the list of whatever supplements you take, whether they are legal or frowned upon.
I should have grabbed them all.
You should have.
Multivitamin. When I remember, my fish oils, my omega-3s.
When was the last time you took that?
I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, but I know I'm supposed to. That's it. Coffee.
No, but
water.
People want to know the other stuff.
Yeah, like.
The other stuff.
You know what?
The stuff that we don't
talk
about.
It used to really bother me when people were like, asked that. But now I'm like, I guess that's a compliment. If you think that I have to take all these things and I literally take one multivitamin a day, like one liquid packet, water, coffee. I don't remember the last time I had a Red Bull even, or an Alani. Like, I don't even take energy drinks or fat burners or hormones, or I don't even know what they're called. Like, I don't even do, he knows, he makes so much fun of me because I don't even take my fish oils because the peels are so big and I forget. I'm not good at any of that stuff. Like, the most that I can do aside from remember to brush my teeth is whatever skin ritual I have. Other than that, it is not happening. Like, I am not your girl if I need to do something that requires 10 steps. I don't do supplements. I don't do any of that.
So you're telling the public.
The people
watching right now that not only are you eating all of the stuff that you post on your social media, mm-hmm. which consists of burgers and tacos, and you go out to eat a lot.
I go out to eat almost every day.
And on top of that, you're not taking any drugs?
No drugs.
You know how disappointed the people are going to be?
No drugs, you guys.
All right.
No supplements.
At least confess.
Powders.
At least confess mm-hmm. how many hours you spend a day at the gym. And it could be all of it. All your cardio and all your weight training. How many times do you go and how many hours are you there?
So normally I work out.
Don't lie.
An hour a day. Right now that
this is a really disappointing show.
Right now that we're doing 75 hard, I have that hour of training, which actually is like 45 minutes. 45 minutes to an hour of weight training every day, 6 days a week, sometimes five, depending on how beat up we are. So the goal is six, but sometimes we end up taking 2 days off a week, and it ends up being five. So 45 minutes to an hour of weight training. And right now that we're doing 75 hard, 45 minutes of cardio, but not really. It's usually a walk, not like Stairmaster in a sweater and all my powders. A 45 minute brisk walk outside, which most days I'm always like, we should go to the mall and do our walk. And he's like, no, but
so
a chill walk.
All right. So all jokes aside, the reason that I express it that way is obviously because that's typically what people think.
It
right,
is. We hear it all the time in our conversations.
People think that it takes hours. People think you got to take a bunch of supplements and or drugs, and people think that the dieting is super restrictive. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that it was really important that I interview her, so that you could hear her perspective on the things that we do, to kind of take people from the moment that they're contemplating the possibility of even doing something like this. To the moment that they get on stage is kind of how we explain it. So
I want to say really quick, I think sometimes at this stage, because I've done so many shows and I've gotten my pro card and all these things, like it might seem like, you know, well, maybe now you do this stuff. It's like literally nothing has ever changed. Like I've gone through seven preps and they've all been the exact same in terms of how much I train, in terms of what I eat, how I eat. We go out to eat plenty of times up until 2 weeks out, even this
the week of,
we go out to eat all the time when we don't go out to eat or even if we do, but my plan has things that I like. I don't give up my wine. I don't give up my sweets. Like nothing has changed since the first prep. The only thing that's happened is that I've done it consistently for these years.
Why do you think that you've been so consistent for so long?
Because of this goal, 100%. I don't think that, and it's funny because a lot of times people be like, wow, like you've done so many shows, like back to back, you know? And it's like, not really back to back. They're like 4 months apart, you know? This last year was the one where we took the longest break and it was because of COVID. But, you know, I would do 2-3 shows a year for the last few years. I think that I've been able to because of the way that we diet and train. I am positive that I would have never made it to the stage once, let alone again, if I had, you know, prepped in a traditional way where I'm cutting out carbs and I'm eating tilapia and asparagus and I'm doing 2 hours of cardio a day. Like if that's what it took, like it just wouldn't, I couldn't, like I just, it wouldn't interest me. So the fact that I can do it because of how you prep us is why I've been able to do it. But I think the reason why I can stay consistent on top of that is because I have that big goal at the end and I set it that way for a reason. If I didn't have a show coming up, I don't know that I would be as non-negotiable about the things that I need to do, but I wouldn't be able to do them in the first place if they weren't the way you do them. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. You spend a lot of time on social media.
Do I? Is this going to get personal?
Tell the people what you scroll through. No, you spend a lot of time on social media and you look at the same things that everyone else is looking at, mm-hmm. right? Why do you think so many women, I'll talk about women specifically, why do you think so many women gravitate toward the things that are so complex and complicated to do, thinking that that's the only way when there's so much more information about other things?
Because I think that that's what they assume is what it takes.
But there is another option.
But maybe in their mind, it's slower. Maybe in their mind, if you do something, first of all, just dieting in general, I think that word, right? Like that thought process already comes with like suffering. Like that's how you grow up. It's a lot of people have dieted as kids or as teenagers. Like we always think that dieting has to come with suffering and that's how you're going to get a result because you're going to deprive yourself of something or because it's going to be really hard, right? That's what it takes. And when you do that, you can see your results faster. When you do anything else, not only are people afraid of opposite of what they've always heard, right? Like more food, like carbs, going out to eat, alcohol, like what the hell are you talking about? Not only does that sound so foreign and too good to be true, but also may feel like takes so much longer, which technically, if you think about it, it does, except it doesn't because those results you get to keep. Yeah, you might drop 10 pounds really quick of water if you do something crazy, but that's what people associate with dieting, in my opinion. Like, let me do something quick that's crazy that I'm going to suffer through so this can just happen quick. And then they gain it right back.
So there's a lot of misconceptions behind what you do. Mm-hmm. One of them is obviously the dieting. The other thing is the lifting of the weights. Mm. For some reason, the lifting of the weights is associated with you looking manly somehow.
And big.
You're
gonna get really big.
Really big. That is a universal sign for if you lift weights.
I don't want to get big. Why is everybody getting traps? why here? Why doesn't somebody go, I don't want to get big or big? Like,
no, it's only here.
It's here. Here's right. Where it goes.
So why? And I ask her because
traps.
Yeah. Prior to all of this, she was one of those people, right?
Yeah.
So where do you think people are getting that information and why do they believe it when there is so much information telling them that it's not true?
I don't think people look at information. And I'll say that because that, like you said, that's how I was. That's still how I am. A lot of times I don't look at actual information. I ask you, right? Because I can do that. Before I would just...
We are live.
We are live. Before you would see some beast girl on freaking Instagram and lifting all these weights. You're like, I don't want to look like that. Like she's huge, right? Not knowing the amount of time and food and load that it takes to do that. And I think that I was even having a conversation a couple of days ago in an appointment that I had, and she was saying like, you know, I'm really struggling to lose weight, to gain weight. She wanted to gain weight. She's very, very thin. And she's like, no matter what I do, I lose weight. She's like, and I started working out, but I only want to train legs because of my upper body, I get really big. Like you're 110 pounds, big where? Like you can't even gain the weight that you want to gain, but you think you're going to get big. Like my arms just get so big. And I'm like, I don't understand how people say that. Like, you know how hard it is to get big? Like if anyone out there has a secret to get big really fast, please tell me because I've been at it for like 3 years specifically, like with the specific training and specific food. And we're only looking at a couple pounds of actual muscle.
Right.
So I don't know where people get that from. I think that they see somebody that's maybe like a bodybuilder that's put in a lot of time and they think that because they're lifting something heavy, if you go lift something heavy, then that's going to happen to you too.
Immediately.
Like some magic fucking trick. I need the magic trick.
Do you think that with all of the information that's available, social media, the Google, the YouTube, all the stuff that's out there, do you think that it's confusing people more?
There's so much bad information.
Is that something? Do I need to cover myself?
You want a mask?
We need a segue.
There is so much bad information. There's...
Why do people gravitate toward the bad stuff, though?
I don't know. And I don't know how people don't see through it. But the girl on Instagram with the abs and the tight butt that's trying to sell you something does not have the right information. Like... there is no one program fits all or a magical freaking supplement, like, but there is just so much information and so much bad information. And you could argue anything you find, anything could be this or that. And I think that people just gravitate toward what they think it takes, you know, what they think it takes to get that outcome is what they're like, okay, so I think that that's what it takes. So that's what I'm going to gravitate toward. Or this person looks like this, so they must know what they're talking about.
Do you think more people should compete or get ready for a competition?
100%. I think everyone should do it.
Why do you think that more people should do something like this? And why isn't just deciding to live a different kind of lifestyle or just decide to that you want to transform? Why don't you think that that's enough? Why?
Well, twofold. One, because of what I was saying earlier, that big goal at the end ensures that you show up consistently and all in a way that you need to, right? You say it all the time. We say it all the time. The transformation that you have to go through, the amount of consistent work that you have to put in to get an outcome like this, really only exists if you have this kind of goal. If you have a vacation, if you have a wedding, if you have a high school reunion, if you have anything coming up, maybe your birthday, right? And you want to make sure you look a certain way by the time you turn 30 or 40 or 50, whatever it is. Those goals are good because they're even setting up a photo shoot. Like those are all good goals. They're great goals. The problem or the issue there is that that day is going to come no matter what. You're going to turn 40 or 50 no matter what, whether you're in shape or not. You're going to go on the vacation. You're going to get married. You're going to do all the things no matter what. This goal requires you to be in shape. You're not required to be in shape to go on a vacation. This goal is being in shape. Like you're required to look a certain way or to make some sort of transformation for this goal. So I think that the reason why everyone that we've taken through this process and that we watch do it, whether with us or not, gets there because that goal is there at the end. So there isn't, well, this weekend, you know what? It's such a mess. Like I'll pick it back up on Monday. Like you just can't do that.
Why is it so hard for people to commit? Do you think that it's because of the goal specifically?
I think people get in their own way. Even talking about what we were saying before, right? It took me a couple months to get actually in the swing of things. And the reason for that is because I really didn't think that I was actually going to be able to do it. I think that people talk themselves out of it. I think people sabotage themselves. I think people get in their own way because either they don't believe they can or everyone's got reasons that they don't even notice.
One of the things that we've done in the past is whenever we have somebody on the show, I ask questions like, so last year you got on stage one time?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, COVID.
And that's where I was going. So COVID happened to all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Like something that was unexpected happened. Mm-hmm. Insert thing, right? In this particular case, we were all universally affected by COVID.
Yeah.
But that something can be anything, right? Totally. It can be a death. It can be
work stuff.
It could be so many things, but something can always happen.
Something always does happen. Every prep.
Why have you been able to stay consistent and committed through those things? Have you stayed consistent and committed?
Yes.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I have. Every prep, I did 7 so far. Every prep had something major happen in our lives.
But it couldn't have been that big.
Oh, it was major. If we ever share it someday, I don't think anyone would even believe the shit we've been through. But it's, you know, I'll tell you what we heard from our clients during COVID and what I've experienced personally through every prep. It became the one thing that I could control. It became the one thing that I could put all of my, not all, but my time and effort and attention to. A lot of times chaos, while we're built to kind of problem solve, or at least most of us, and you know, kind of get through what's going on. We also like routine and we like control. And a lot of times that became that for me. It became the one thing that was routine, the one thing that I could control. I eat my food, I train, my body continues to change. I'm working toward this goal. It became the one thing that I could do regardless of all of these other things that were happening here. And I think the same happened during COVID. We had a lot of people getting on stage last year. And they all said the same thing. Like it became the thing I could control. When all of a sudden kids were home and husbands were home. And even though for us, that's normal, for a lot of people, it's not. It became the one thing that they did for them. It became the one thing that they could control and put their effort into aside from all the craziness. So that is 100% a thing.
Are you consistent all the time?
No. We're supposed to be honest, right? I'm not. I have my days.
If somebody was under the impression that you are on 7 days a week, and I'm not saying it for anything other than journalistic purposes.
You're quite the journalist, babe.
I know. I've pursued it. I think I'm going to pursue it.
It's journalism mixed with sarcasm.
I was under the impression that you live and breathe the gym.
Mm-hmm. That would be so awesome. I kind of wish I did.
So you're not consistent all the time.
I'm not consistent all the time. I'm not.
What kind of things throw you off?
So stress throws me off at first, right? Like we were just talking about it being the thing you can control. At first, the stress might throw me off a little bit, whether I can't eat or want to overeat. Going out to eat is really our thing, but I'll speak for myself. It's our jam. Like we love the experience. We love food, right? Like we love everywhere we go to eat. Like I don't remember the last time we each ordered our own thing. Like we always go tapa style, no matter what kind of restaurant we're at, because I want to make sure that I can try 3 or 4 different things. And
let me tell you something. If you are ever out to dinner with us, that's how we eat.
That's how we eat everything. Dessert, appetizer, main courses. And people, like waiters, get confused because they're like, well, what about this person? What are they going to eat? Like, no. Just bring everything and we're going to share everything. So we love the experience of food, of trying different things and having drinks and having dessert. We love the experience of being out to eat. We love the atmosphere. We love different, you know, sceneries. Like we just love, like that's our jam. So for me, that is absolutely one of the things that can throw me off. A lot of times having an outing or two for me spirals into more outings than I should, whether that be inside of a weekend, or there are days where we literally go out to eat every single day for a meal, right? And some of those meals we're able to measure because they're rice, beans, and chicken, or, you know, something that we can measure, like maybe I'll get some sushi that I can measure. But a lot of times they end up being like full-blown outings. And while I don't necessarily stuff my face, food like that is something you can't control. So what throws me off a lot of times are these celebration outings that we do, because it really is the only thing that we do aside from work and kids and training and prepping and all that stuff. I would say that's the main thing that throws me off.
So why haven't you, or why hasn't it spiraled out of control? If you do so many outings, right?
Right.
How come?
Because at the end of the day, I am more consistent than not. I am consistent all the time. I just have a lot of moments, sometimes more than others, where we choose to do those outings, fully knowing that they might come with some repercussions at the moment where I might not feel good. I might get bloated. But I am consistent with all of my meals. I'm consistent with my training. I'm consistent with my water. Most days I struggle with that too, but there is at least an 80 to 90% consistency.
What are some of the things that you've discovered through this process of eating better or being consistent with your training that you didn't even think about when the only goal was to get ready for the stage?
I didn't know how good I could feel. Like you always, and I would tell you like, oh my God, I feel so good. Like, I feel like I was on drugs. I'm like, I have so much energy and, you know, like I feel good and I don't feel bloated. And you're like, yeah, like your body is supposed to feel good. Like you're supposed to feel good. You're not supposed to be tired and, you know, 3 o'clock, like falling apart. That a lot of gut things that I had that I didn't know I had that you fixed, skin things that we've continuously worked on, obviously some food sensitivities. There were a lot of things, but ultimately it all leads back to the way that I felt. Like I didn't realize how bad I felt. And so until I started feeling really good. And then on a day where I'd introduce things that weren't my usual, I would feel bad. And I'm like, oh my God, like I used to feel like this all the time. I didn't realize, you know, how bad I used to feel until I felt really, really good. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I'm very, one of my core values, one of my principles as a person, for any of you watching, is language.
Yes.
I appreciate language. Mm-hmm. I like words to be used for what they mean specifically. Mm-hmm. So when I propose the next question, I propose it in a way specific. Yeah. I preface it so that you can prepare. Preparation is key.
I live with him.
And I am like this all the time.
All the time.
What is
get ready.
The best thing about the stage or about getting ready for the stage? And the reason that I preface it is because I think that that question is, what is the best thing about competing? And it's competing isn't the thing that I want to ask mm-hmm. about, because competition is, mm-hmm. you can compete at a board game, right?
Right.
Do you know what a board game is?
I do.
They okay. We won't talk about that.
Yeah, I do.
What is the best thing about prepping for the stage or about being on stage for you?
There's so many things, but I'm going to go with who I've become because of not just the stage, but prepping for the stage and then getting on stage and then doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. Who I've become through this journey is like insane to me. And it's the coolest thing to watch other people experience the same thing. Not everybody that goes through this process transforms the same way, but the people who really go all in and allow it to be as transformative as it can be and as it's meant to be really come out a different person. And I was never really trying to change who I was. I just never in my wildest dreams, like imagine being able to tap into who I am now. I feel like at the end of the day, it's all in there, right? Like there are things that I can never do. Like I never want to be an astronaut or like, you know what I'm saying? Like right. There are things that just don't call me. The stage specifically didn't call me, but the idea of being so confident and so comfortable in my own skin and feeling pretty and not feeling bad about it and not feeling like, you know, don't be full of yourself or be humble. Like the idea of being able to be out there and be outspoken and make friends and show up to my life for myself and in such a different way and wear things that I never would have. And like, there are certain things that are like, I don't do slutty things, let's say on Instagram. Like I don't take those kind of pictures. That's just not me. That's not something that interests me. Right. But it really interested me to be out of my shell and to be more just confident. And I didn't have that. And I think that I never would have. I would have always been kind of in the background and in the shadows of you and the kids forever if I didn't do something that big, because going through that journey like shows you so much about yourself, like that consistency. And then you get to the end and you're this whole new person in terms of your physique and you do something crazy, like get on stage and then you do a photo shoot and you wear all this crazy stuff. And then next thing you know, you're like, okay, well for date night, like I don't need to wear this boring stuff. Like, why don't I wear something more fun? And why don't I do these earrings? And you just start to show up so differently. You become a different person. So to me, like the most powerful thing about this whole thing isn't competing at all. It's like who you become in this journey if you allow yourself to, if you show up all the way.
There was two things that you said there that I want to touch on. The first one is you said a lot of people don't allow the transformation to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, are you saying like their bodies don't transform?
I think the body always transforms because it's a math equation. So as long as you do what you're not.
So what kind of transformation?
The internal transformation that you go through by being present in your journey.
Why don't you think it's happening for some people?
I don't think that they're present in it. I think that they might have picked this goal for the physical transformation, which is great. It's what I did. It's what everyone does, right? Like you want a physical transformation. But I think that they get in their way so much inside of that process because of their doubt. It's normal to doubt that your body is going to transform that way. It's normal to be like, how the hell am I going to actually get on stage in a bikini? Like nerves are normal, but being like, shit, like, okay, I committed to this. So like, let me go all in. Let me practice this new thing called posing. And let me make sure that when I eat, I'm intentional. When I'm training, I'm intentional. And let me envision like, okay, what is it like actually going to be like when I step on stage? Like, let me watch some stuff on Instagram and let me see, you know, like just what kind of dress am I going to wear? Like a lot of just being present and not worrying so much about what's not happening. Like everything that changed in my progress picture or when I learned something new with posing or any little milestone, big or small, like you have to take a moment to be like, holy shit, like the bikini's ready or my body changed significantly in the last 4 weeks compared to where it started. Like if you're not present and you're only focused on the end, you miss it. And if you miss it, then you just don't experience that kind of transformation, that internal transformation.
The other thing that you said was about like the way that you felt. Do you think that a lot of women don't feel pretty or don't feel sexy?
Most women don't. 100%. Why? Honestly, I don't know. I think it's a mixture of comparing themselves. Nowadays with Instagram, like everyone is comparing like what they look like when they're walking around doing laundry with their hair up and they look like a freaking disaster, right? Then they sit down on the couch and they open Instagram and there's this freaking gorgeous glammed girl that doesn't even really look like that. Like the girl on Instagram looks just like you half the time. Hot mess, right? But I think that that comparison game is really strong. And I think that a lot of times I'll say this about myself and I'll say it about a lot of Latin women specifically that I've met and I've talked about this with. I think we are raised to not think that. Like a lot of times it's like you're not supposed to say or think that you're pretty and that you're sexy. You're supposed to be humble. Like I was saying before, don't be so full of yourself. You know, you're not better than anybody. And I think that a lot of times those things come from generations of other women who were taught that and who also felt insecure. Like it's passed down. And so you pass that down to keep everyone like at bay, you know? And I think that women feel like if they come out and say or think that they're pretty and that they're sexy and that they're worthy and that they're able to do big things, that that's kind of a bad thing because you're going to make somebody else feel bad about it because you're supposed to be humble and you're not better than anybody else. And it's just
passed down
a lot of times.
Do you think that a lot of women reach a point where they just either quit or give up working on themselves?
Totally.
Why?
Usually I think because of kids and husband, and that's the reason they tell themselves, right? So that's what they can blame it on. I just think that it's when you start taking care of other people, whether you get busy with work, whether you get busy with kids, whether you get busy because you're taking care of your parents because they're older, whether you get a husband or all of it, right? I think it's easy to just say, okay, well, I'm going to take care of these people. And I'm going to put myself kind of in the back burner because these people need me. And looking good right now is not a priority when my kids need help and I'm tired and my husband's always at work and whatever the case may be. I think that people just put themselves in the back burner because, again, back to it being passed down, very few people can actually sit down and say, no, like my mom always took care of herself. My mom took care of us, but she made sure that she also made herself a priority and she made sure that she was put together or felt good or was healthy. Or very few people can actually say that, if any that I know. I think it's passed down. I think that you're supposed to be selfless and you're supposed to take care of everybody else. And that's really all that matters.
Interesting.
Is it?
Interesting because in most cases, in order to help other people, you're supposed to make sure that you're in a good place, right?
100%.
I don't know if any of our audience has ever been on one of those aluminum...
oh my God, my nightmare. I hate it.
One of those giant aluminum vessels that flies
in the sky.
but if you've ever had the fortunate experience of being inside of one of those, during the initial phase of your participation in travel, they announced that in case of an emergency, oxygen masks will come down and that before you help anyone, you've got to put yours on first. That advice has always stuck with me, right? I don't know why other people don't apply it. Maybe it's because they've never flown.
Maybe, lucky them.
Maybe.
I freaking hate airplanes. Let me tell you guys something. I would not be, it always sounds so cliche, I would not be the mom that I am today if I hadn't taken the last 3 years to really make sure that I created a me that I like, that I'm proud of, that I feel good about. Like, no, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. And I'm still working through some mom guilt in certain days or when I get really close to a show where it takes a little bit more time for me to do things that I need to do. And I feel like I'm neglecting Junior when we have a busy show weekend or photo shoot weekend with work stuff. Like, I still have my moments, but at the end of the day, like, I don't feel bad going to the gym anymore. Like, it was a process. Like, at first I was like, I'm going to take an hour to go do this. Like, what about him? It's like, I would not be the mom that I am today if it weren't for that. And I would not be the wife that I am. I don't even know at what state our relationship would be in, if any at all, just because it's one of those things where, like, you cannot be empty or miserable or not fulfilled with something that makes you feel alive, whatever that may be. Maybe you like running, maybe you like painting. Like, we all need a thing. That's one to me. And two is, we all need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. So maybe you don't want abs, maybe you don't want to step on a stage, but we all need a thing, like, that isn't work and that isn't our kids and that isn't going out to girls' night. Like, we need an actual interest outside of our everyday life that is not related to our job. This just happens to be related to our job, but my show weekend itself is still my weekend. You know, it's still my thing. It's still my hobby. It's still something that I've created, something that I continue to evolve in and through. I would not be the person that I am. And that spills over in every aspect of my life if it weren't for this whole thing. And it's not the competition or the stage. It's this journey in general.
I think that speaks waves of where you are. And I want to segue into show weekend, because as a competitor, right, that's kind of why we're here. We wanted to interview you about the show.
Yeah.
How was your experience at Worlds?
It was awesome. It was I love every show. Every show is so different. And it was my second Worlds, but the Worlds that I went to 2 years ago was in the Bahamas, and it was a completely different crowd and set of competitors, obviously, because back then there were no restrictions with traveling. So we had a lot of people from overseas, a lot of newer people at this one, obviously some that have been around for a while, but just the experience in general. I hadn't really been to Vegas since I was a kid, so I didn't really remember. I fell in love with Vegas. The whole experience was truly amazing. And honestly, like I said at the beginning, it always is. I treat every prep and every show like a whole new experience. Like, I'm going to get a new bikini. We're going to do a different posing routine. I want to bring a better physique. How much better can this prep be than the last one? And I go into every show almost like kind of trying to make it or to feel like a whole new experience. Like, this is its own experience. This is Worlds 2021 in Las Vegas, you know, and the next show is going to be AC 2021, like, in Jersey. So it's like every experience is its own. And this one was definitely one of my favorites. Because I think as I do this more and more, it starts to feel less like nerve-wracking. Like, I had zero nerves for literally the first time ever. I just felt comfortable and confident and in my element. And while I always, like, once I step on stage, like for the last few shows, once I step on stage, I'm usually good. But a lot of times leading up to it, like, I do have a lot of nerves, believe it or not. This time I just felt like I just wanted to go back out there and do it again, which was so new for me. Like, I felt really, really, really good.
Do you think that there's a lot of misconceptions about competitions or about, you know, bikini competitions or the WBFF in general?
Totally. I mean, there's misconceptions about everything, but especially
specifically
a world that's
in that,
like, so unknown.
What, like, what would you say, like, if somebody was watching this, what's one misconception that maybe you've heard that is, like, just totally inaccurate that we could clear up right now?
I think, I don't know if this is a misconception, but I think that it's something a lot of people probably think, is that a lot of the girls can get, like, catty or can get very competitive. You have a lot of beautiful women in one place and everybody's there for the same reason. So I think a lot of times they might on the outside look like not the nicest crowd, and it's the opposite. And I'm also bringing that up specifically because every time that we ask someone that gets on stage for the first time what was the most surprising part, that's one of the things that they say, how nice everyone was and how great of an experience the weekend ended up being, how many friends they made, how friendly it is backstage. A lot of times, you know, these modeling faces and these Instagram posts with these hair flicks seem like all of these, like, you know, just girls that are like, oh, whatever. And it's so opposite. Of course, there's all different personalities, but overall, it's always such a positive and friendly experience on show weekend.
What was the one takeaway that you had from this particular show that you haven't had at any other shows?
Of the show specifically or of my prep?
Either.
I think one of the takeaways that I had from the show experience specifically is kind of going back to what I was saying about the nerves. Like for me, it was a really big deal to not feel any nerves. And I think that had a lot to do with how I prepped myself for that mentally. Like I had a pep talk. I'm like, you've done this so many times. Like, you know, like just, this is the moment that you're supposed to enjoy. You've already done all the work, like, and you've already done this, like, just go out there and enjoy. And I was able to. So for me, that was a huge takeaway because I'm hoping and I'm assuming that I'll be able to do that just moving forward. Like I'll be able to show up to every show just to enjoy, which is what everyone always says, including me, to everybody. And it actually genuinely felt that way this time. So that was a takeaway from the show specifically. As far as my prep goes, like, just like every other prep, this one had its share of difficulties and interruptions. And I think that I still till this day am always so blown away at how the body comes together. Obviously, I know that I put in work and I'm consistent and I'm in the best hands in the world. Like I'm fully aware of that. So it should come together. But I'm also fully aware of how many moments of inconsistencies I tend to have depending on what's happening. And this time my biggest takeaway was like, wow, like look at how much my body has evolved over the years, how much muscle we've been able to put on and how much we've been able to bring out a different evolved physique every time. Like I can't believe that with the interruptions that I know I had, that it came together this well. Like I just felt really proud of what we were able to accomplish. And it made me really be like, I am not allowing an interruption like for the next prep. Like that was my biggest takeaway because I'm like, if we can do this much with the interruptions, like imagine what we can do without any, you know? And I'm not saying the interruptions are gonna happen, but how much am I gonna allow them to actually make an impact in what I'm trying to achieve?
And I guess that would be the follow-up question. Like when is your next prep or what's next for you?
So my next show is December 4th. In Atlantic City, WBFF Atlantic City in Jersey. And that started like 4 weeks before the Vegas show. We already started that prep. Guys, ultimately, like I don't really make any of these decisions. They're all his. So maybe you can speak to them better than me as to what we decided.
Hi guys, here I am.
How we decided, that's more your wheelhouse. I just do what I'm told most of the time.
Honestly, I'm only going to answer it because it's something that I asked you and, mm-hmm. and I asked you to put it in context for everybody listening. We evaluated the way that she looked for this world show. And as a coach, one of the things that I like to do for and with a lot of the athletes that I coach is set up a like a prep show or a warm-up show almost to see what the body's going to look like when and if we diet down. As a test run, right? And throughout the course of this prep, obviously her and I are together all the time. So I knew what kind of interruptions were there and I knew what we had and had not done. So along the way, it does come down to me whether or not she should do a show, but obviously, you know, she's the one stepping on stage. So she will make that final call. I only advise, right? And one of the things that I said is, I think that we are going to put together a better physique than we have in the past, but I don't think that this is the show where we are going to peak and have the kind of physique that we could get on stage with to win. But I do think that if we start working on that particular physique now, then by the time we get to that next show, then we definitely stand a better chance of putting ourselves in a place where we could be in contention to win. Mm-hmm. So the decision to prep for a later show was twofold. Like I said, one was let's take advantage of all the time that you've been prepping and see how you would peak, almost like a mock.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how do I look? What does it look like under here?
Right.
You know?
And but knowing, like after all that work? Knowing full well that this isn't what we were targeting.
Right.
So we took advantage of the situation. and we gave ourselves an additional 20 weeks to keep prepping. Mm-hmm. And then Atlantic City will be that.
So that we're peak. 13 weeks away from Atlantic
City. So that's the answer to the question that I asked her.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So with all of that said, one of the things that I always ask everyone whenever they come on the show, and while she's said so many things that are so powerful, you know, hopefully you guys go back and listen and watch. But one of the things that I always ask is for that person that's watching, and we talk to a lot of them, for the person watching, for the person listening that has this goal as surprising to her, something that they've always wanted to do, because you don't know how many times somebody has said to us, it's something that I've always wanted to
do. Blows my mind because it was never something I wanted.
So for the person watching, for the person listening that has had something like this on their bucket list, it's something that they've always wanted to do. And even for the person that is just come into experience something like this and is just now contemplating, considering, or is curious about it, but doesn't get started because they don't think that they can, what would you say?
You have to do it. You just have to do it. You have to give yourself the chance and the opportunity to at least get started and at least try. I always say, like he said, it blows my mind how many people are like, I always wanted to do this. I'm like, you have? Like, that many people have always wanted to do a bikini competition, right? Or step on stage. Like, that thought never crossed my mind. But once I saw something that I wanted and I saw someone that I had already met and I was like, well, if she can do it, why can't I? Like, what is so special and so different about her other than the fact that she was willing to do the work, right? To transform. What, she didn't go to another planet and came back a different person. Like, whatever she did and a bunch of other people do, like, obviously it's available to me. If she can do it, why can't I? And that's what I would say to anybody who has always wanted to do it or who's never thought about it, but now they see things on Instagram and they're like, holy crap, imagine looking like that or imagine doing something like that. For someone who doesn't have a thing and wants a thing and wants to change the way that they look, like whatever the reason might be, like we have in the WBFF, the transformation category, that people have so many stories about loss in life, not of weight, like an illness and tragedy. And like, we all have a story. And I think that it's so powerful to just do something big for yourself. So if you're contemplating it, if you're thinking about it, like, you need to just do it. You need to give yourself the chance and the opportunity to at least go for something big at least one time in your life. So many of us are just existing. Like, we are just going through the motions and it's like a hamster wheel. Like we sometimes have to stop and be like, okay, like we're just going. And it's so easy to not be present. It's so easy to not even notice everything that's happening or not happening and just kind of let life pass you by and just get through the days. Like, we should not be getting through the days. There should be something that you're doing or working towards in your life that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel like you're doing something that changes you, that makes you evolve. And to me, and not just from my personal experience, from what I've seen with so many people, like, this is it. This is the thing. So if you've ever thought about it, give yourself the chance and the opportunity to at least get going with it and do it one time. That's all I have to say.
I think that this is one of those shows that we're going to have a lot of sound bites from, because there were so many things that she said along the course of the show that I think individually are so useful. But I think that collectively, if you replay this and watch this and listen to it and see how it applies to you, I think that this is one of those shows that can have so much impact, even if it's just one person. Totally. So for all of you watching this evening, this was a special Friday night edition of Lais and the Coach. And we are always happy to talk to all of the people that we do, but there's always another story, right? There's always a story of what's going on behind the camera, behind the scenes with us. So if you're not following her on IG, she shares a lot of the things that she does on Instagram, the things she eats, the day-to-day mom things that she does. She shared her go live in our room when she's doing laundry or folding clothes, right? Like all the things that everybody else does are happening. And she's still making time to eat and train and do the things that she needs to do. Yeah. So if you're not following her on IG or on Facebook, make sure that you do. If you are not subscribed to any of our platforms, iTunes,
our YouTube channels,
Spotify, YouTube, subscribe. We have a lot of interviews that are already loaded on there. And we have a lot of interviews that are still to come. And for any of you that have any questions about any of the things that she talked about, if you are one of those people that is curious or have always wanted to or thought about doing something,
and this message like is for you, getting this is on your stage, sign,
then reach out.
Like
even if you just want to talk about some of the questions that you have, that's kind of one of the things that, we always want to do is like answer a lot of those questions. Whether or not you are a member of our team or you coach with us, or regardless of that, if you have questions about anything, you know, one of the purposes behind this show is to get information out. So if that's you and this is speaking to you, then reach out. You know, there's so many ways. DM, like
all the
email,
ways.
Like
we
like,
are everywhere.
We are everywhere. So reach out and take some of the things that she said and honestly and run with them, because the truth is that you should put that oxygen mask on first.
You have to. I will never again not be thinking about myself and the things I need to do for me. Ever.
So with that said, peace out, everybody. Have a good night.
Yes.
Thank you for watching. Till next time.